So, we have our non-linearly square problems, and we computed the gradient and the Hessian matrix. Okay? So, in principle, we can apply any method we like among those we have been studying. Okay? I computed the Hessian matrix because I'm interested in doing something with the Newton method. Okay? It's the last method we've been seeing at the beginning of this semester, and we have seen its advantages and drawbacks. Advantage, it is a superlinear method, okay, converted to superlinear. And drawback, it is a local method, in the sense that you converge to a stationary point if you start close to the point. And I've shown you very bad example, for instance, with the Rosenberg function, in which the neighborhood of convergence is very, very small. Okay? So, but if I simply apply Newton methods, I will simply at each iteration at which I am currently in a point xk, I will simply solve this system. Solving this system gives me the Newton direction, and then I take a unitary step along Newton direction. Okay? This is Newton method. I have this. Job done. What is also bad about Newton method? You need to compute second order derivatives. Okay? And here, where do we have second order derivatives? We have second order derivatives here. We have the Hessian matrices of the residual functions. So, the basic idea of the Gauss-Newton method is the following. And apply this method, but supposing that the action is this one, given only by first order derivatives. Clearly, this equality is not true. Okay. We can hope that the action matrix is well approximated by this matrix, which involves only the computation of first-order derivatives. Well, when these terms are negligible, okay, when you can neglect them and still get a good approximation of the Hessians. When they are small, with respect to these ones, okay. And when it is that they are small? Well, they are small if the residuals are close to zero. Okay? If these values are close to zero, this is close to zero. Or when the functions Rj are a bit flat. Okay? Bit flat means that the function changes, so the first order derivatives are not zero, but they change very slowly in such a way that second order derivatives are close to zero. Okay? So, it sounds that this approximation is good when the residuals are small or when the residual functions are flat around the points we are considering. Okay? They don't change much. They don't change fast. Okay? The way they change is determined by first order derivative. The velocity of the change is given by second order derivatives. Indeed, the approximation is not good only when these residual are small or their second order derivatives are small. What is important is that they are negligible with respect to first order derivatives. Okay? When they are, for instance, an order of magnitude smaller. Okay? And on Thursday, I tried to show you an example in which this is, let's say, 10 to the 9, and this is 10 to the 6. Okay? You can transferate that, you can ignore it and still think you are doing a good approximation of the Hessian matrix. The advantage is that you don't compute second order derivatives. The question is, does the method work? The answer is, surprisingly, yes, it does. And there are some nice differences with respect to the Newton method. So, let's suppose we are in a solution xk, and let me call jk the Jacobian matrix of capital R computed in xk. Okay. And let me call RK the function capital R computed in K. So the vector whose components are R1, R2, Rm all computed at xk. Okay. So let's write this system. Okay? This system is JK transpose JK, which is our approximation of the Hessian matrix. Okay? We suppose that this works. This matrix provides an approximation here, so we write the system here. And the gradient, we know that the gradient is the transpose of JK applied to vector RK. That's not. It's always bad notation because RK looks like a matrix. So let's make a small RK, but oh, terrible. And small RK looks like one of these components. Okay. RK is a vector. Okay. Let me write it this way. Smaller, but with this. Just to compute that this is a vector and not a matrix. So, the Newton system is, with this assumption, turned into this system. The Gauss-Newton direction, D, is the solution of this linear system. So let's suppose that DK Gn is the solution of this system, so satisfies this equation. Surprise, if we are not in a stationary point of F, so if this, which is okay, is not zero, then the Gauss-Newton direction is the same direction for our objective function f. Newton direction is not in general, the Newton direction in the classical Newtonian method is not necessarily at the same direction. We prove that it is at the same direction is capital if f, the objective function, is strictly convex. Okay? If this Hessian matrix is positive definite. Here we have this surprise. We approximate the action with only first order terms, and we end up with a direction which is always a the same direction. Okay? It's somehow surprising. You take the best problem, you approximate it in your situation, and you get a property that in the general case you don't have. How do we prove this? Well, to prove it is in the same direction, we need to prove that this scalar product is negative. Okay? You remember. If this scalar product is negative, it is at the same direction. So, let's replace the gradient with the formula we have for the gradient. I just substituted the formula. Okay. Here we have the that is the action, and we also have that the gradient at fxk is jk transpose rk. Okay. Is this one computed in xk? This is jk transpose. This is r computed in xk, so it's rk. Okay. So. This is the case. But we know that the direction satisfies this equation, so we can replace to this minus this, so we get minus this quantity since the Gauss-Newton direction solves this system, to this we can substitute minus this. And now we are almost done, because this is minus transpose jk transpose jk okay I think he took the transpose of this. Okay. Now, notice that this quantity is the transpose of this quantity. Okay, here I have the transpose. This transpose times this transpose. But this is nothing else but minus the norm of this vector squared, which is less or equal than zero. Okay? Could it be zero? I mean, this quantity zero means that this is the zero vector. Okay? If this is the zero vector, this is the zero vector. Okay? It's the same. So this is the zero vector. So this quantity is zero. But this quantity zero means that the gradient is zero, so we are in a stationary point. Okay? So this is less than zero because otherwise jk times the Newton direction zero would imply that the gradient of f is zero. And this because it solves the Gauss-Newton system. Okay, this is the only thing I'm going to prove you about this method. Next thing, so we can have we have a method. We have a descent direction, so we can take a step along that direction, okay, and improve the value of f. For instance, choosing the step size in such a way that it satisfies the Wolf conditions. Okay? So, the Gauss-Newton method is indeed this method. A method done this way, exactly this way. You start from some F0 in the rank. Okay. And you set the iterate counter to zero. Then, if the gradient of F at xk is zero, so if jk there's a transpose here. I need a transpose here. Here and here. Sorry for that. If the gradient is zero, I am at the stationary point and I stop. Otherwise, I compute the Gauss-Newton direction in that I solve this system. Then I compute a step size which satisfies the work condition, I update xk to xk plus 1 by moving from xk of the step t dk along the Gauss-Newton direction, and I update the counter, and I iterate. Okay, so this is the actual form of the Gauss-Newton. I mean, I wrote you in this way, but it's nothing else than specifying with our new notation the same method for our case. Okay, it's a particular part of the descent direction. Okay, it's the generic gradient method with an exact search, except for the fact that we have chosen the direction in a particular way. Okay. I could prove you convergence. In a moment I will give you the statement of the theorem. On the lecture notes you find the proof. I would not worry with the proof, but I want you to focus for the time being here. Well, you are telling me do the usual stuff, solving at each iteration the linear system. You want to solve this. Now I ask you, does this system remind you something? The matrix of the system is given by a matrix transpose times the matrix. And the term is the transpose of the matrix by a vector. Okay. So let's call the matrix A. This would be A minus A transpose, let's call it B. Exactly. This is exactly the same form of a system of normal equations. This is a system of normal equations for which system? The system is A equals is there, what's the sign here? I don't want to mismatch the sign. There's a plus here. So this is the system JKD equals minus R. Okay. I'm telling you we are doing the We are doing this. It looks like we are going to solve this system. The system does not have a solution, so I take the linear least squares through the normal equations. Solving the normal equations here means I want to minimize this minus this, so jk d plus rk such that d is in the range. Normal equations mean solving the system. Okay? So, how can you perform this blue step three, solving this blue system? Well, you can apply any of the methods Professor Bevilacqua showed you for linear least squares. Okay? You can use QR decomposition, you can use conjugate gradient, you can use singular value decomposition. Okay? So you have at least three ways to do it. So, our more general case, our nonlinear cases, reduces, okay, to solving a sequence of linear cases, or linear least squares. I have two further remarks. One is on an alternative way to get here. So at each iteration we solve this optimization problem. Okay? You do it with the method of linear least squares. And now I need a blackboard. Let's take a look at the same direction. Consider f computed at xk plus t, okay, which is this sum of squares. Okay, you just write the definition of f. Now, you can approximate this by Taylor's formula. You can replace by Taylor formula, Rj computed at x plus d, f Rj computed at xk plus the gradient of Rj computed at xk times d. Okay? Replace it here. This is the jth component of the vector rk plus jk transpose d. So this is the jth component of this vector. And I'm taking the square and I'm coming all over the components. So this thing is exactly one half I'm taking the direction which minimizes this approximation of S at xk plus t. Okay? The direction I'm choosing is the one which minimizes this, the Taylor first order approximation of it. Okay? Now, you see, we are doing this, which is exactly minimizing this approximation. Okay? So you are seeing together. First, minimization of first order approximation through Taylor's formula, which is the basic ingredient of gradient methods. Together with least squares for linear systems. Okay? As a step to solve non-linear least squares. Okay? You started, you know, from an approximation of Newton and you ended up here. Okay? So somehow this topic is the culmine. The summing up all the data, Newton, gradient methods, linear systems. Second relevant remark is we started with a Newton-type method, but in Newton methods you take unitary steps. Okay? Another advantage is Newton method, you don't have to compute step size, okay? It's always one. Would it work here? The answer is no, it would not work, okay? To get convergence, you need the work conditions. Essentially because with the way we approximated Newton, we went back to gradient methods. The convergence result is standard one, almost a standard one. All assumptions are the usual except one. So, we suppose the following things. We suppose, first thing, that the functions Rj are continuously differentiable. So, we have first order derivatives and the derivatives are continuous. We don't need second order derivatives, okay? They might even not exist. We don't need them. They were the starting point for getting the idea of the method, but we don't use them actually. Second assumption is that the sublevel set of F are bounded. So let's say the set of F in Ln such that F at X is less or equal, then F at X0 is bounded, the set since F is compact, is a compact set. Okay? We are building in the same method, so the whole sequence lies in this set. Third assumption, which is the unusual one, is that there exists the positive gamma such that for all k's, the matrix, the norm of jk z is always greater or equal than gamma times the norm of z. So this for all z in a rank for all iterations. So this is the set assumption, and the conclusion is the usual. Then any cluster form of the sequence Xk solves the nonlinear least squares problem. This in yellow is the new assumption we don't have. If you look better at what Professor Bevilacqua taught you about singular value decomposition, it says that all the singular values of the rectangular matrices JK are greater or equal than alpha for all K. Okay. And the singular values of those are related to the eigenvalues of these matrices. Okay. The singular values are the square root of the absolute value of the eigenvalues of this matrix. So this is an unusual assumption. It means that eigenvalues are all bounded away from zero by the same value. What's the English for? They are all equibounded away from zero. Okay. If you have a look at the proof, you will need this to prove that the angle between the gradient and the Gauss-Newton direction does not go to 90 degrees. Okay, we had seen this. You get trouble with the gradient method when the descent direction gets orthogonal to the gradient. Okay, so this assumption avoids that in this framework. Okay, I think I can stop here. On Thursday, I will explain you how we can use nonlinear square least squares in, for instance, data fitting problems, And I will show some application of it. Okay?